my God, my Lord, my Savior, my keeper, my helper, my best friend, my everything. I turn to you in times of trouble. I turn to you in times of loss. I turn to you in times of happiness. I turn to you in times of sadness. God, I lift you up like never before. I lift you up like none other. God, I ask you to just come into my heart, come into my mind. Just anoint me like never before. God, let your words that come from your heart, come from your mouth, flow through me freely, God. I yield myself. I get myself out of the way that you maybe get all the glory. I move myself out of the way that you may move through me, that the Holy Spirit reign and move and minister to and through me like never before. God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us, City Reach Burlington and the world. It is that time of year again. Are you ready for some football? Yes, it's football season. It's a little different than any season that we've ever witnessed in the 54 years of NFL history. But this is something that is to look forward to, something we can kind of concentrate on, take our minds off of the dilemma that we're dealing with every day with the racial structure, the racial strife, the political situation that's going on with the election cycle, or this pandemic that we're dealing with, and not being able to gather because of it, not being able to come together as a family, not being able to come together as a church and as a body of believers. So we're going to do things a little differently. So we're going to try to continue on, and as God allows us, we're going to do what God wants us to do. So this is going to be a little different. So I wish you, your team, if you celebrate, if you have a favorite football team, I wish you guys the best of luck. As you could tell, I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I wish us the best of luck. I'm not looking forward to whatever. I'm not going to make any predictions or plans of who's going to take what, who's going to win what. It's just, it is what it is. I'm not even sure if we're going to finish the season. I just hope we finish the season without anybody getting hurt or damaged or anybody coming into contact with COVID-19. So listen, we're going to continue on with the series we started last week called Good Trouble. We talked about that. We talked about Senator John Lewis, who has an autobiography out called Good Trouble, talking about if you see something that's not right, if you see something that's not just, if you see something that's not fair, do something about it, say something about it, get in good trouble, say something about that. He said, let me read that correctly, because I want to quote him correctly, because I don't want him to come mad at me. So when you see something that is not right, not fair, not just, say something, do something, get in trouble, good trouble, necessary trouble. So, and we talked about that, about how his nonviolence stance, the movement for nonviolence and the civil rights movement that he was a part of, it was all about doing things and getting in the way of things that are not just, things that are not right, and in a loving manner, using nonviolence as a method to get the message across. And I was reading, I was listening to one of his books, and everything was based on love. And you think about that, how do I protest with love? That's why you do it, with nonviolence. But looking at the others, looking at the person that you're protesting or with, or protest, the system that you're protesting against, it's with, if you consider it with love, you take it with love, then you realize that you're not protesting a person, you're protesting a system. You're not standing up for justice for against the person that is standing before you, but you're actually looking past that person and looking past that as into the system that is underlying, that is allowing these unjust situations to happen. So if you look at that, it's not the person, it's the system that you're seeking justice from. You can look at that person with love, because, you know, if God looks at us with love, so why not look at them with love? So not everybody that you're protesting against is your enemy. They could be just another person. You see them as an individual, which is what we want to be seen as. We see them as individuals too. You could treat them as love. And I love that situation. I love that lesson that he taught us. And we talked about last week, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, about how they protested the unfair, ungodly law by King Nebuchadnezzar to bow down to his statue and to his image. And if not, they're going to throw into the fiery furnace. And as we know, they were thrown into the fiery furnace and they came out unscathed. So we're going to keep on continue on with that, because God has a message for us. God has a plan for us and each and every one of us. If we look in the book of Micah, we talked about this last week, Micah 6 and 8. It says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. He wants you to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And we're going to talk about another character in the Bible, a prophet by the name of Amos. And he was one of the minor prophets, not really, he wasn't, that doesn't mean the minor prophet that he didn't have, he wasn't as important as the other prophets. He's just a minor prophet because he didn't have that much to say, or that much was not recorded in the scriptures of his ministry, of his time down here on earth. So it doesn't mean that he is any less than anybody else. It's just that he is different. And that's all we are. We can't compare ourselves to this person, can't compare ourselves to that person. We have to be what God has called us to do and God called us to be. And his message was not one that you would imagine at that time to the people of Israel that he gave his message to, was not one that would have been well received, because it wasn't a popular message. And sometimes we have to realize that we're not here to be popular. God didn't call us to be popular. God called us for a purpose. And need to also realize that we have been called to seek approval instead of applause. I'll say that again. We have been called to seek approval instead of applause. Sometimes we need to realize that it's good to have the accolades and the thank yous and the attaboys from your friends, from your peers, from your Facebook, your Twitter families, your followers, and things like that. But it's another to have approval from God. And so if we consider our lives and pattern our lives after what God approves instead of what man applauses, we're guaranteed that we'll make a difference in this world. If we pattern our lives after what God approves instead of what man applauds, then we know that God is we're going to be great. We're going to do what God has called us to do. So let's think about that. Don't do everything that's popular. Don't do everything that everybody else is doing. Just do what God has called you to do, even if it's not popular. Do what God has called you to do, even if it takes people booing at you, or you get talked about, or you get unfriended. It's okay, because God has a message. God has a plan for you, and it may not be popular, but it'll be prudent and what God has called you to do. Let's look at Amos, let's read about what he talked about. Amos, the 5th chapter, starting with the 7th verse, and we're going to skip a couple of verses here and there. So Amos 5 and 7 says, there are those who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. Skip it down to the 10th verse. It says, there are those who hate the one who upholds justice in court and detest the one who tells the truth. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times. The times are evil. My God. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. And the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good. Maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. I read that again, the 14th and 15th verse. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good. Maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. And here it is that Amos is talking to before this, he's talking to the children of Israel, and he's giving warnings to various regions about how God is displeased with the way they're living. And when he gets to different nations, he's saying that about them. And Israel's like, yeah, yeah. He gets to another nation, he says that about them. He said, yeah, yeah. But then he gets on Israel, and he's telling them about their wicked ways and how they're being unjust and how they're being unfair and how they're taking things and from the poor and living lavishly. The rich are living lavishly because of what they're taking from the poor. And you think about that. And as I was reading about that, I was thinking, man, this happens now. You know, sometimes the rich get richer and the poor just keep getting taxed and keep getting poorer. And if God was not pleased with the Israelites at that time because of that actions that they were doing, I will wonder what he would say about the actions that we are doing at the same time. We're doing the same things. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. It's just like, you know, they say that 10% of have people have the wealth of the world. And everybody else, 90% are just living sometimes paycheck to paycheck or sometimes below paycheck to paycheck. And he can't seem to get ahead. And I see every time you turn around, it's like the system's working against you. Every time you try to get ahead, something comes up. Every time you try to get ahead, something comes out. But the rich keep seeming to get richer and they keep oppressing, it appears, the poor. God is not pleased with that. And we need to say something. We need to stick up for what God is not pleased with. God has put that on your heart to say, stick up and say something. Do something about that. God wants justice. God wants mercy for all of his people. And you think about that, and it's like, man, I can imagine what the people of Israel were saying. And be like, wow, that's wrong. That's just like, maybe we should repent. Maybe we should turn away from that and live justly and to not try to live high and everybody else live beneath us, because God doesn't not pleased with that. And I can imagine saying, okay, we should do that. But then they probably didn't. Because if you continue on into the scripture, Amos has some more warnings to them. And it gets really deep. He first he's talking about how they're living and how they're living day to day and how they're gaining money and the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Next he's going to talk about how they worship. And they're thinking about, wow, we do all this worship, but God's not pleased with their worship as well. Let's continue on. 21st verse. I hate, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Oh, my God. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. And I can imagine, it's like, whoa. God's not pleased with how they worshiped him because their heart was so tainted and their heart was so bad. And it seems that the same sins that they were doing back then, some of the churches are doing the same things now. And God is telling us as a church, he's not pleased. He's not pleased with how we live. He's not pleased with how we worship. And he's telling us, sometimes I even despise the religious festivals. God's not in that. And you got to really check your heart as a church and as a body. Are we doing what God's called us to do? Are we living the way God called us to live? Are we loving the way God called us to love? Or are we living lavishly for ourselves and for our own well-being? Are we living for approval or for applause? I'll let you think about that. Check your heart. Check your motives. This is what Amos is telling the children of Israel. This is what God's called me to tell you and ask you. Are you living for approval or for applause? What are your heart motives? What are you really bringing to God? Are you bringing God your best? Are you bringing God your first? Are you loving others? Are you living justly? Are you walking with mercy? Are you forgiving those that have sinned against you, even if they haven't even asked for it? Are you loving those who are different than you? Are you oppressing the poor? Are you helping out the widows and the orphans? That's what God called us to do. So are we having the biggest service and try to turn out the church to be the best looking or the most crowded? God's not pleased with that. You can have 1,000 people in your church and have no God. And what's the purpose? Even God says, even 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Are we living for applause or approval? And like we said, we read this last verse last week, but let justice roll on like a river and righteousness like a never failing stream. And you think about that, he wants justice to roll on like a never ending river that it comes down from God down and just flows and just saturates everything beneath it. Like I said last week, it flows down from God down onto his people and it flows down and this is no stopping. And that justice flows from the top all the way throughout the body. That's what justice, he wants our justice to flow just like that. You think about that, justice are actions taken to correct injustice. Justice are actions that are taken to correct injustice. And righteousness is a right relationship with equity despite social differences. I say that again. Justice are actions taken to correct injustice. And righteousness are right relationships with equity despite social differences. So God wants us to be just. He wants us to correct everything that's unjust, correct everything that's not right. But he also wants righteousness. And that's a right relationship. God is all about relationships. We have a relationship between us and God. And he wants that to be right. When we become that right, when we make that right by loving, by accepting Christ into our hearts, and that relationship is restored. So our relationship from man to God, he wants that to be right. But he also wants us to have a right relationship with each other. And he wants that without any differences. He wants us equally, despite social, economic, age, class, whatever race differences. He wants that to be right. He wants our relationship to be right, just as we want to have a relationship with Christ to be right. He wants us to have a relationship right with everyone else that we come across, that everyone that we come in contact with. God wants that to be right. He wants us to let justice roll. He wants justice to be correct any injustice and righteousness. He wants us to be right with a right relationship between God and our fellow man. Amen. If you think about that, God is all about relationships. If you think even God himself is a relationship, because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God. God is God in three persons. If you think about God, you can't think about God without thinking about his Son and think about his love, think about what he's done for us. You can't think about God, you can't think about the Father, God the Father, God the creator of the universe, creator of the world. And you can't think about God, you can't think about God, the Holy Spirit, which moves and dwells and lives inside of us and allows us to do things and allows us to say things and allows us to walk justly, allows us to walk rightly. So if you think about God, you can't think about one aspect of his countenance. You can't think about one aspect of who he is because he's a relationship. God is triune God. He's in three person, persons or personhoods. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So if God himself is a relationship, everything that he creates should be a relationship as well. That means he created us. He created us to be in relationships, not just with him, but with everyone else. And if you think about that, if you have a good relationship with God or a real relationship with God, will transform your relationship with others. A real relationship with God will transform your real relationship with others. Because if you think about, if I look at myself in comparison to who God is and what God has, I have no choice but to be humble because I am filthy. I am dirty. I am dusty. I am not perfect when I think about a perfect God. So when I humble myself before God, I have no other choice to look at others in the same manner. And I can't lift myself up above anybody else because I can't lift myself up above God. So why should I try to lift myself up above anybody else? So that means that if I'm in right relationship with God, and I understand my role and my path and what God has done for me, why not have the same relationship with others and understand that I'm no better than you, you're no better than me, we're no better than anyone else in this earth, because we're all sinners saved by grace. We're all are here to live, to love, and will eventually die. No one's here to live forever. No one here is greater than anybody else. No one here gifts are greater than or more than or more important than. We're all important in the same way to God's eyes. He loved us so much that he sent his son for each and every one of us. He sent one Jesus to die for all of us, which means we are all the same. He didn't send a big Jesus for that person or a big Jesus for that person or a little Jesus for that little child, because we're all the same. So we should have a right relationship with Christ. Right relationship with God means we have a right relationship with we transform how we treat and how we relate to others. A true Christian loves despite. A true Christian loves in spite of what has been done to them. A true Christian loves in spite of who they're loving. Because if we're all sinful by nature, why not love those who you might think be sinful? Just love them. God called us to be and seek justice and seek mercy. God called us to love everyone that we come across and present Christ to them. Amen. And so Amos had this message to the Israelites and to the people of Israel. And he let them know that because of your hard-heartedness, because of your sin, because of the way that you're living, and because you turned to these other gods and these false gods and started worshiping these idols and started to look for applause instead of approval, God's going to, you're going to seek destruction. You're going to be destroyed. You're going to be scattered across the earth. You're going to have a nation that's going to come in and take over, and the land that you're in right now, you're going to lose it. The houses of worship that you're worshiping right now, you're going to lose it. It's going to be destroyed because God is not pleased with you. God is not pleased with the way you're living. And you can imagine the turmoil and the disheartened they must feel. And they almost want to, like, God, you know, what can we do? But God is so great. God is so powerful. He can't stand our sin, but he loves us anyway. He sends us a way of escape. He sends a ram in the bush that will pay the price for our sins. He knows that we're no good of our own. We're naughty by nature. We're sinful by nature, and he knows that in and of ourselves, we can't be clean. We can't be right. We can't do what God's called us to do. We need an overcomer. We need somebody to take the place for us. We need somebody that will come and take our way, our sins, so that we may be able to live right and to live just and to live the way God has called us to do. That's the role that Jesus came in. And Amos realized that even though it might seem like I'm giving you guys a message of destruction and doom and gloom, but there is yet hope. There is yet hope at the end of your tunnel. There is yet hope at the end of your struggle. There is yet hope at the end of your strife and at the end of your turmoil and your problems and at the end of your sickness. There is still hope. We're looking at the 9th chapter of Amos, the 11th and the 12th verse. It says, "In that day, I will restore David's falling shelter. I will repair its broken walls and restore its ruins, and will rebuild it as it used to be, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do these things." God is telling them, and God is telling us, that I love you so much that even when you do wrong, I still love you. And I have given you a way out, and I have given you a way of escape, and I've provided someone that's going to take the place. I will provide a seed of David that's going to come out of the lineage of David that will come and take away the sins of the world. And I will restore everything that was taken from you. I will repair your broken walls, your fallen shelters, and I will restore all your ruins. Here's the thing. He scattered the children of Israel out throughout all the world, so that he could bring the whole world back to him. So the promise was left to Abraham and his seed, the children of Israel. But we are remnants. We are joint heirs with Abraham's seed when we allow Christ into our hearts. And because of that, He's going to bring all nations back to him that bear his name, that is called according to his name. And we were able to live the way God called us to be. We were able to live the way God wants us to live. And it continues on in the 13th verse. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. And I will bring my people, Israel, back from exile. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. So that just goes to tell you that despite everything that's going wrong in your life and everything that's going not right, or this, you might seem doom and gloom, God has a way of escape. God has a way out for all of us. And if we live the way God called us to do, it may seem not right at first. Or it may seem uncomfortable at first. It may seem unpopular at first. But if you do what God's called you to do, if you say what God's called you to say, if you live the way God's called you to live, we will reap a harvest that will be unmanageable. There'll be new wine flowing from out the land that God has called us to harvest, to live in. And we'll be able to live in peace and harmony the way God wants us all to live. He didn't want us to be divided. He didn't want us to be scattered about. He wants us together. He wants us united. So I said all that to say, God wants us to be a united being, a united church, a united people that lives according to lives according to what God called us to live, live the way God wants us to live free from sin, to live free from oppression, to live free from injustice, and to have mercy and to have righteousness rolling down like from the mountains, from the hills. God wants us to live together. So if there's anything that's, if you see something that's not right, say something. Because he wants us to be that conduit. He wants us to be the voice. He wants you to live right and to speak right and to help apply his justice and apply his mercy to the world. Because God wants us all to live together in peace and to harmony. So no matter if the person is this or a person is that, or the person hurts you or says something about you, God wants you to walk justly and to walk righteously and have mercy upon the world just like he has it upon us. And I said all that because Jesus is the answer. Jesus is that ram in the bush. Jesus is the one that came to take away all of our sins and to make us right and to make us clean. And he came down. He was all God and all man at the same time. He was a man that he was God that never knew sin. And he came to take away all our sins. And he died on the cross. He bore those sins for us, for you and for me. And he took on my sins. He took on your sins. He took on your children's sins. He took on everyone's sins, the whole world on him. So that he may pay that price for us, a price that we couldn't pay for ourselves. And he give us a gift of free life, a gift of eternal life, that we be able to live in relationship, a right relationship with God and with each other. And he did that because he loves you. What great love is that? The man, he loves us so much that he took away all of our sins. What manner of love is that a man came down from heaven just to take away all of our sins and to die and to rise again just because he loves us? That's the message we want to get across to you. That's the message we want. That's what the whole thing is about. This whole thing is about love and God's love, how he loves you. He doesn't want you to stay the way you are. He doesn't want you to live this way, high or low. He doesn't want you to treat anybody else any differently because he didn't treat us any differently. He loved us all the same. So he wants us to love each other just the same. And here's the thing. We got to ask God into our hearts. We ask Christ into our lives. And also it's a free gift called salvation that God will give to us if we only accept it, if we only ask him into our hearts. I call it the ABCs of salvation. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And here are the ABCs of salvation. There's three steps that you can think about to how to allow Christ and to ask Christ into your heart. A, you want to acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. You want to believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And you want to see, confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believed and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And I have a prayer. If you all bow your heads and close your eyes, that we can all pray this prayer together and allow Christ to come into our hearts. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Lord, I pray for those that are cried out to you, that have called out to you to accept you into their hearts, God. I pray that you just lead them and guide them the way you want them to live. I want you to lead them and guide them to be who they are called to be, the man or that woman or that boy or that girl, to be everything that you've called for them to be, God. God, I ask for your grace, I ask for your peace, I ask for your mercy to ride, rest, rule, and abide over each and every person that hears this message. Let this message be out and touch somebody's heart and allow them to come to you, to know you as in the pardoning of their sins. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer with us, or if you're looking for somebody to gather with, or a church or a body to have a relationship with, we are here for you. We love you. We are reaching out to you. Our arms are wide open for you. My arms are open for you. Just, I want you to do this. Text the word all in, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in to 609-831-3377. Listen, I love to hear from you. I'd like to get back with you, communicate with you. Text me. I love you guys. Thank you so much for joining with us. God bless you.